All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Blessing. Again, to be here with you all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we just ask your blessing, Father, on this time together. Lord, we ask you to fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father. Help us be faithful to you and bring glory to you. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I appreciated the thoughts that were shared this morning. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 21. Begin in verse 18. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourselves and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you to where you do not wish to go." There's Jesus talking to Peter right before he left them. Just given some instruction. "Now this," he said, "signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" These things that he said, you know, whenever Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished." You know, that's our desire, is just to walk where we wish or do what we would want done. And that's, he told Peter, that's the way you've lived. You know, he just did what he wanted to. Maybe if he even thought that he was doing right, but he kind of chose his own path. And Jesus said, "But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Here he's signifying about him being taken into captivity. But he's also, there's a lesson to be learned here, that we can't always choose the way things go in our lives. We have to accept, you know, the phrase, the saying, you know, that we can choose a destination, but we have to accept the path that will lead us there. Or we can choose our own path, but we have to accept the destination where that path leads to. That's just, you know, if we choose to follow Jesus, like he tells him to do, to follow me, we have to follow his path. We can choose our own path, the path that seems best to us or that looks best to us. But if we're truly going to follow the Lord, we have to accept the path he has for us. And sometimes, like in this case, it even led to bondage. For Peter, he told him, he said, "You're going to stretch out your hands and someone else is going to lead you about." And that was the case with Peter towards his death. And, you know, we might not have to be that way, but we might. But the point is if we're on this path now and accepting the things that God sets before us and walking in that path, then that will be the path that prepares us for later on. And that's what he's trying to tell us through the example of Peter and through him speaking to Peter, that, you know, there's some time in our life things that will happen to us that it's the place we don't wish to go. And that's a very difficult time. I've had that happen to me several times. Things just thrown upon me that I never would have wished to have had for myself. Just things that I never would have planned on, never would have even dreamed of, have happened. And I've had to just walk a path that I didn't wish to walk. And the thing about it is that's the path that God wants us to walk in. That's whenever he talks about denying ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. That's where this is a little more explanation of that. You know, we've talked about denying ourselves and taking up our cross. I think one of the biggest things in the world whenever we talk of denying ourselves is a lot of us have a plan for ourselves to be saved. And so our whole focus is so that we'll be saved. And to deny ourselves, that is one of the ultimate things, is to give God our salvation. And not have to deny ourselves is take that out of our own hands and give it to him. And I think that's one of the things that is hardest for us to do. You know, to trust God with our salvation means to trust him. I think the difference between a pretend salvation and a real salvation is, you know, the pretend salvation is I just pretend Jesus died for me, and if I pretend hard enough, it'll just happen. And that leaves all of the responsibility for ourselves out of it. And so we rest in that, believing that Jesus died for us, and it doesn't affect us. But a faith salvation is one where we actually have to leave off what it's going to happen to me and actually trust God with our salvation. Trust God with our souls, to the point where Peter was able at one point to make his own decisions. But later he said, you'll be bound and you won't go where you wish to go. And you got to be able to trust God in all of those things. You know, there's people that are going to happen. This is going to happen to things. Bad things are going to happen to everybody. But they usually have to blame somebody or find someone else to be the problem, or maybe even blame God for all the bad things that happen to them, instead of being able to trust him. You know, the things that happen to us are either going to lead us closer to God, or they're going to drive us farther from him. The dark clouds on the horizon are either going to bring us closer to God, or they're going to drive him from us. He said, follow me. You know, and that's just pretty simple. What he's saying is believe me. Trust me. You know, and that's where one of the things that he teaches us, the things that he's trying to say, like Brother Floyd brought out this morning, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. That's following him, because you believe what he's saying about that. And you're willing to let go of what that means to me or my life or my future. It's to give that to his hands. Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned on back on his bosom at the supper, and said, Lord, who is it, the one that betrays you? So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what about this man? Okay, see, now we've got the dilemma of denying ourselves. And right here is where religion starts. Right here is where religion starts and faith departs. Is whenever I'm worried about this man. What about this man? You see, see how the diversion is? Jesus said, follow me. Okay, what about this man? Right there is where religion starts. Because now, I look out among my group and I got to see, well, what's he doing? Or what's he doing? Or what's he doing? I can't fellowship with him because of how he's doing. I can't be a brother to him because of how he's doing. You see where religion starts? You see where religion starts? And then, well, I've got to control these other people, or I've got to make sure they fit into my little group before, so they can fit into my little group. But Jesus said, follow me. And see the little diversion there? Follow me. And then, well, I remember that guy, he was getting ahead of me a little bit. He was leaning on Jesus' bosom, and Jesus didn't tell him he was going to go through these troubles. He was leaning on his bosom. He was really close to him. And so, I wish I could be there. I wish I could be really close. But I'm not. So I've got to look at this other person. You see, religion starts with envy, with jealousy. That's where religion starts. That's the heart of a lot of it. It's not fair. That's what really starts. Somebody else has it better than I do. Somebody else, you know, has got an easier life. One of the boys talked about, or maybe it was Floyd, that we look at everybody else's positions. You know, I've told the story before about the guy that owned the ranch. He came driving up in his pickup and he was watching the people work the cattle, and he looked out and he saw the guy out there just picking up the calves and throwing them down and working them. And he said, wow, I wish I could be doing what he's doing. And the guy that's out there working the calves is looking up at the guy on the horse that all he's doing is roping, and he said, boy, I wish I could do what he was doing. And the guy that was on the horse roping looked at the guy on the fence that was just telling everybody else to do, and said, boy, I wish I could do what he was doing. And the guy on the fence that was had all the pressure of getting everything done looked out at the guy on the pickup that owned the pickup and said, boy, I wish I could do what he was doing. You see, it went all the way around. Nobody was content with just being what they were supposed to be. It's so easy for us to look at somebody else's position and think, oh, they've got it so much better. But you know, I've been in almost all of those positions. And there's problems with all of them. You know, the guy just doing the work, sweating and just having to work hard and break his back, he doesn't know anything about the mental pressures or the stresses of the guy trying to make it all work together. And it's so much easier just to be doing the work. But we all look at somebody else's position instead of just being what we're supposed to be right now. I've told her, the man just passed away recently, that he was working at a filling station, and he just put his whole heart into being friendly and just taking care of customers and just really going after it. And the guy that owned the bank come driving up, and every day this guy just came out and he just did his chores, and to everybody, he was just out there, he just noticed. And so he gave him a job at the bank, and he wound up being the president of the bank because he was a good gas station attendant. He just was diligent doing what he was supposed to do. That doesn't always mean that it's going to, sometimes nobody will ever even notice. But who cares? You be the best that you can be in whatever you're doing. You know, being a neighbor, like Floyd talked about, being a godly man and a good man, you may not get all the notice. Probably won't, actually. You probably appear that you get slighted most of the time. Nobody will even recognize what you're doing. But you just keep doing it anyway. Because God knows it. And it doesn't matter. Like I said, this envy and jealousy. You know where that comes from? Self. Trying to defend ourselves, the opposite of denying ourselves. We're so worried about what other people think sometimes. Their opinion. Have you ever noticed that you're always worried about somebody else's opinion or what they're thinking about you? And wonder what they're thinking about. They're thinking about the exact same thing. They're worried about what everybody else is thinking about them. We've got to learn to deny ourselves. Get past those things. The troubles in life. You know, I read a little deal this morning that said, it doesn't matter how deep the ocean is, or how much water there is on a boat, around a boat, it's only the water that gets inside that can harm the boat. It's only the water that gets inside that can harm the boat. Doesn't matter. A mile deep, 10 miles deep, however deep it is, the boat floats. And it's the same way with you and I. It doesn't matter how much troubles or it doesn't matter what we go through. It's not what comes at us from the outside. It's what gets in that tears us up. That leads us astray. That begins to sink us. So many times our worries and our troubles, they're all centered about me. You know, the prayer says that think of others when you pray. You know, think of others when you live. That's how you be a good neighbor. What happens is we become, when the world begins to revolve around us, it don't just revolve, it turns into a big old, you've seen a bathtub where you drain the water and it turns into a little hurricane that's sucking down the tube. When the world begins to us, our lives just start going like this. It goes into darkness, depression, anxiety, and all those things, and it just gets tighter and tighter and tighter. It's a downward spiral because the whole world is revolving around us. But whenever we, you know, one of the boys talked about the Pharisee, or Floyd, maybe the Pharisee and the religious person, they saw the man that was hurt. That their thought was, oh, he's going to contaminate me. Or, oh, I'm so busy, I can't help him. But then the publican, his life wasn't revolved around himself. He saw someone else with a need. It doesn't really matter. There's always somebody else. And we start focusing on ourselves, and it just starts just a big old swirl at first, and then it just gets faster and faster, and it's going down. And we wind up despondent and depressed and discouraged. Get our thoughts off ourselves. So Peter, seeing, said to Jesus, Lord, and what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, here's what I want you to remember. What is that to you? What is that to you? If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? That's none of your business. Let's put it in another word. We find so many other people to make our business about how they're doing this or how they're doing that. Like I said, that's where religion starts. You know, freedom and the church and the family, just like what Jesus taught is, you know, they came to him and Jesus said, Lord, divide this up for us. He didn't tell them how to do it. He didn't have, you see, it is his duty to fix all those things. He told them how to get through it properly, is what he did. You see, religion has to make sure everybody does all the right things and does all the right, you know, does it just, it's all fair. But Jesus was never teaching us that all is fair, because it isn't. You know, even himself, he told about the parables and he said he gave 10 talents to one person, 5 to another, and then one he just gave one to. We know what happened to the one. He started looking up at the other 5 and said, they got more than me. This ain't fair. And he went out and hid it. And Jesus said even that which he had was taken away. We get to looking at other people and we think life ain't fair. And there we start on that downward spiral. Life isn't fair. We're all different. But we're all created by one God. And that makes us all brothers and sisters. Whatever station, whatever place. And when we get in trouble is whenever we start saying, what about him? Instead of just following. And Jesus' answer is the same, always. What is that to you? So the next time you start choking or struggling or can't hardly believe what somebody else is doing, think about what it is to you first. Because unless it actually is nothing to you, you can't help them anyway. You can bind them. You can put them in all kinds of rules on them. You can create all kinds of things, but it's really nothing to you. You know, if someone else in church is not doing right, Jesus said, examine yourselves. He didn't say make sure and examine everybody. He said examine yourselves. You know, and just like the water, you know, there may be people that are deceivers. There may be people that are wrong. There may be people that are weak and failing all around you. But until it gets in your ship, you can just sail right through it and be something that they can maybe grab hold on and help. But if it starts getting in your ship, you're both going down. What is that to you? Leave you with those thoughts. Follow me. What Jesus said. And he asked the disciple that was read about. And the disciple knew exactly what it took to be faithful. He knew exactly what he needed to do. It was just a question of whether he was going to do it or not. Whether he was going to be faithful and just follow, or whether he was going to divert things and start looking at everybody else. The birthplace of religion versus faith. May the Lord add his blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Floyd and I were talking yesterday. As you read the Bible, Jesus was always patient with drunkards and the sinners and the prostitutes. And he was always real, he didn't seem to have much patience with the scribes and the Pharisees. And we seem to be the exact opposite of that in the religious world. We always have patience with the scribes and the Pharisees, but we're always, it seems like, expecting, or it seems like we're a lot harder on the, broken sinner than we are on the ones who make the rules, And Jesus was the exact opposite of that.
Bless y'all. I guess we're going to Roaring River this evening at 6 o'clock for evening meal down there. So we're just one of the... Okay. One of the pavilions there in the center there. All right. Well, God bless y'all. Pardon, peace. God be with you till we meet again.